Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. We've got a great half hour lined up for you straight ahead because Bill Dunkelberg is in the building, ladies and gentlemen, in the virtual building. Dr. William Dunkelberg, former chairman of the School of Business at Temple University, and now professor of economics at Temple, and chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, and our good friend Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
And the next president of the Federal Bank of the Fed Bank in Philadelphia, right, Bill?
I see. I didn't know you were my campaign.
Well, it hasn't actually been formally announced yet, folks. But that's my story. And if there's any fairness in the world, Bill, that you'll get that job. And in fact, I think you should be the vice chairman of the Fed myself.
Well, now there you go. When you go in the distance, you might as well go for the big ones.
I would think that would almost be more fun than being the chairman. What do you think?
Being the vice chairman more fun than chairman, or more fun than being the president of a regional bank?
Which would be more fun, president of a regional bank, vice chairman, or the chairman of the Fed?
Well, I think probably being on the board of governors would be a little more fun. When you're president of a regional Federal Reserve Bank, you do participate in making monetary policy, but you have a huge company to run.
I mean, that's right. It's a lot of management 1, 000, there, isn't there?
100 employees down here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so it's a different job.
But on the board of governors, one of the five board of governors that wouldn't be a bad job, and see, you'd have all the fun without the hot seat that the chairman has.
There you go.
But you'd take the chairman's job if they offered it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, that'd be a pretty unique. That's actually more of a unique position than the president of the United States, isn't it?
You'd be obliged to take it, you know.
I mean, oh, absolutely. You'd have to. You'd have to. All right, Bill. The you poll for now in your fourth decade, you've been polling small business owners about what they say, what they're telling you is going on in the economy. What are they seeing out there? How is it going where the rubber meets the road? You've been polling them. They've been giving you answers. And for several years now, about 6 or 7 years, you've been reporting back to us what they say. What say they now?
Well, the news from February was just a reaffirmation of what we heard in January, and actually for the months before that. And that's the economy is really in fourth gear. It's running well above trend. So growth is very, very strong, and that's good for job creation, of course, and so on. And the Fed is worried about the inflation side of that. And if January,
justifiably,
I think not in this sense. In the olden days, and we can unfortunately talk about those. In the olden days,
you mean like 6 years ago?
Yeah, right. Yeah, 60 or maybe 30 years ago, and 20 or 30 years ago, Alan Greenspan was still around then, but. But in the olden days, if the economy got too hot, we got inflation because General Motors ran out of capacity. It couldn't make any more cars, so car prices would go up, et cetera. But now we're a very global economy, and instead of getting inflation, we get a massive trade deficit.
Right.
Because the rest of the world is willing to take the dollar. So we have all these dollars and spending going on, but instead of bidding up the prices of domestic production, we just import stuff, and so
also we're a lot more productive than we were before, which sort of softens the inflation issue, doesn't it?
Well, that certainly helps if you're making more output per hour. But you know, the trade deficit now has hit a new record, $800 billion.
Right.
The rest of the world takes dollars. Who knows why? And we can discuss that sometime. And they give us cars and wine and flat screen TVs and everything in exchange, and so life is very good because we get all that extra output without giving anything that we made with our own little hands in exchange for it,
mm-hmm.
and prices stay low. And it's a very nice world. It's just one that nobody thinks can continue. We just don't know when it will come to a halt and how.
But Bill, you and I've been talking about this for a long time, and I've asked you this question before, and I'm going to ask you again, not to repeat the question necessarily, but I think it deserves it deserves being asked again. Well, let me ask it this way. Is the Fed looking at the economy still with 20th century through 20th century glasses? Now, I don't want you to answer that yet because we're going to a break in a second. But
okay.
when we come back, I want you to answer that. Because, folks, this is what I've been saying. I said this back in the late 90s on this show. I said the Fed needs to be looking. They need new models. I think their models are old. And that's just as a, you know, an amateur observer. But Bill's going to answer that question right after these messages. It's 20 till, and we're going to learn some more about how the economy is doing, especially in the area of hiring.
What will you do when you hold it?
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for taking advantage of all the resources we have there. You're just using it to your little heart's content. I like seeing that. We like seeing people use our website. It's all free, thanks to our corporate partners, and we really are glad that you're using it to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out the blog while you're there, too. And all the other things like our books and the books of our Brain Trust members and other things that are there for you at smallbusinessadvocate.com, including going back and listening to some of the really smart things that Bill Dunkelberg has said on our show over the last several years. Bill, back in the late 90s, when Mr. Greenspan was raising rates like 12 times in a row or some ridiculous number like that, and basically, in my opinion, pushed us into a little bit of a recession, I said in those days, they're not looking at this the right way. Not to say that I knew more than Mr. Greenspan did, because I didn't. I'm not as smart as he is, but I did think that he was looking at the economy. He and the Fed were looking at the economy with 20th century glasses on, and they were saying, you know what, if the economy is heating up this much, if it's going this fast, there's got to be hell to pay one of these days, and therefore we better slow it down. And then all of a sudden they said, wait a minute, this was real. It's because we become more productive.
Right. There was that kind of, there was a little bit of both of those things going on. And I think the Fed was right in the sense that there would be hell to pay. The question is, what did hell look like? And it wasn't the old hell. It would be.
Mm-hmm.
It probably wouldn't be a serious inflation, but it might be becoming this incredibly large debtor nation.
Right.
With incredible, you know, debt servicing burdens that we have. I mean, you know, now interest on the debt is now like $800 or $900 per capita every April 15th.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different hell than I think than the old guys were used to. But I remember
right.
having the discussion with you. We wondered if Greenspan might be, you know, trapped in the world that he grew up in, so
right.
to speak. And if that's a problem, I think they solved it because, you know, they got rid of, Greenspan left, and now Roger Ferguson is leaving, and Ned Gramlich left. Those guys had a lot of time there, and they were more senior people, let's just say kindly, like
mm-hmm.
me. And they, you know, we have a 35-year-old on there, and who hasn't started shaving yet. And in one sense, the new people may not have much experience, but they certainly don't think about the world.
They don't have any baggage either, do they?
Right. Same. They don't
Should we be worried? How much should we be worried about this? About the current account deficit? About the trade deficit? How much? You know, I hear a lot of people wringing their hands that I believe are just wringing their hands because they like bashing, you know, the current administration. But I know you're a lot more intellectually honest. You actually are very intellectually honest. And so I really pay a lot of attention to what you say about these things, Bill. What do you think we should? How do you think we should feel about those two things, the current account deficit, which you can help us understand what that is, and the trade deficit?
Okay, well, the current account balance deficit is really not much different than the trade deficit, so you might as well just talk trade deficit and not worry much about the current account balance. It has some other, the current account adds into it the amount of money that we pay to other countries, the money that they make, and minus the amount of money we earn from our investments in other countries. And that's a small little number compared to the trade balance. So just think about it as the trade balance. The first thing I would say is, well, you know, don't criticize the government about it because the government doesn't have much to do with it, if anything, mm-hmm. With where this trade balance is going. The basic problem is that we're a very large economy, and, of course, nobody really can buy more from us than we buy from them. We're a very rich country, and we will kind of naturally run a trade deficit, and that's the way we supply capital to less developed countries. We buy a lot of stuff from them and give them a lot of dollars. They use the dollars to buy equipment, excuse me, and all that kind of stuff.
So are you saying that the trade deficit actually can contribute to bringing other countries into the 21st century global marketplace and maybe therefore
sure.
make them more capitalistic? And now we come back to what I like about what Bastiat said, and that's that when goods cross borders, armies don't.
That's right. Trade is a good thing to have. Some of us economists have argued for a long time that we should always trade with our enemies because the enemy to fear is the one that has nothing to lose.
Right.
You know, fat and sassy opponents don't fight.
Right.
And, so that would be good. So should we,
900 billion, is that what it is now?
800 billion trade.
800 billion. What should we, is that a number, is that a prohibitive number?
Well, it's not very big compared to our economy, so I guess that's one of the key things to think about. If you look at debt relative to GDP and so on, we're one of the best situated countries in the world. We have a huge number for debt. It's because we're such a big country. Our trade deficit's bigger than the GDP of most countries.
Right. So that's about, what about 8% of our economy?
Well, it'd be kind of 800 billion divided by 12.5
right.
trillion. And,
yeah.
So it's pretty small. The issue is what happens if it builds up over time and does it naturally go away? And I think the answer mm-hmm. to that is probably that it does. Nobody worries about the trade deficit between California and the other 49 states, and yet California is one of the, fifth or sixth largest country in the world.
Right.
We don't even keep track of trade across the borders. And so if it doesn't matter inside these huge countries called states, maybe it doesn't matter between China and the U.S. or anybody else.
Right.
Maybe we shouldn't worry about it.
So small businesses are hiring people like crazy, aren't they?
We certainly are. We logged in a near record half an employee per firm in February. I mean, it was
200. Was it a quarter of a million people hired in the United States in February?
Yeah, big number.
Annualized, which you can't annualize 1 month. You shouldn't. Annualized, that blows the lid off of the initial projections.
Yeah,
stand by
a little higher
for the year. Stand by. Quick break. 10 till. Right back with Bill Dunkelberg. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. That's NFIB.com. Great organization. I encourage you to check out and to consider supporting. They're very much involved in the small business health care plans that I believe may be actually become a reality, Bill, real soon. I hope that does, and we can thank the NFIB for helping with that. And so next time an NFIB person calls on you, I hope you'll give them a little bit of time. Bill, your survey is available on our website, but also at the NFIB's website and also at another website too, right?
That's right, smallbiz.org, smallbus.org.
All right, and you can find his survey there. Every month we post the survey, and on our homepage, there's a couple of surveys that we have there. Bill, when companies hire, and you said a half an employee per company.
Per firm.
Per
right.
firm. That's just unbelievable. When companies are doing that, they must be pretty optimistic about things.
Definitely optimistic, and also not just pie in the sky stuff. I mean, they're hiring them because they need them.
But what are some things that are waking us up at night? What are we worried about right now?
Well, that's a good question. It's hard to identify something that will really slow the economy down a whole lot and give us a major problem. There's nothing really out there that would be disastrous per se.
Well, except if Iraq imploded somehow, And I'm not trying to look for something, but this is a reality. I mean, it's a possibility. If Iraq imploded and became a black hole with all this gravity that sucked all this turmoil in over there, that could make petroleum prices spike.
Well, we could get more on petroleum, but look what we've been through already. We went from 40 to 60 and stayed there, and look at the economy. I mean, what we forget is that even though we use a huge amount of oil, 21 million barrels a day, the next closest competitor, I think, would be China at 9 million a day.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we use that much oil, we're very oil efficient. We use half the oil per dollar of GDP today that we used 20
years ago. That's a fact that you've taught us over the years. That's really helped me to understand a lot about why, even though prices have gone up, we still our economy wasn't so beholden to oil that we tanked.
Exactly. We don't depend on oil like we used.
And that number, and that's just going to get even better, isn't it, as we go through, as we continue to find efficiencies. We're focusing more on conservation now and
sure.
That sort of thing.
Well, markets don't solve problems that aren't worth solving. And at $60 a barrel, it's worth solving this problem.
Right.
So we'll find a lot more new ways to not use oil. And we'll find more oil, of course, also.
You know, I don't know about you, Bill, but I encourage people to be careful who they listen to with regard to the economy. There are a lot of people out there who only find the negatives in the economy. And anybody who would look at this economy and say on balance it's negative, I don't know what game they're watching. Do you?
Yeah, you really can't, because the amount of wealth creation and per capita income, that growth is very, very nice. Obviously, everything's not perfect, and there are more issues in the United States now about the distribution of income and wealth than the amount of income and wealth, and that always remains a political problem, of course.
Right. What are some other things that small business owners told you this month?
Well, we're going to have very heavy inventory investment, which is no surprise since we expect sales to be very strong. We've got everybody expecting real sales to improve, and that's a nice thing. That's why we're hiring, and we'll have to get inventories. And we saw a nice increase of a couple of points in the percent of owners planning to make capital expenditures and expand their plant. One out of five of us think now is a good time to expand our businesses. So all that's really good news for growth and output and jobs. And, of course, productivity. If we keep doing the capital investment, why productivity goes up, and that's the only way workers can get paid more is if they make more per hour.
And, Bill, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, advancements in technology primarily helped big companies. Now, every advancement in technology helps all companies, doesn't it?
That's right. That's the beauty of what has happened to the chip and the miniaturization and, of course, the Internet. The smallest of companies can now experience great cost savings and inefficiencies by investing in technology for just a few thousand dollars.
The incrementalization, the democratization of technology has been the best thing to happen to small business and really the global economy, hasn't it?
It has. It's been just tremendous. And it's still rolling. I mean, it isn't over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a long way to go.
Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today. As always, we appreciate all the things that you do for us and all the things that you do for small business.
My pleasure. See you next time around.
We'll see you next month. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. William Dunkelberg. And as I say, he's chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. And when they asked me for my vote, the next president of the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Bank. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I'll also say happy St. Patrick's Day. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Next time I talk to you, I'll be in Orlando. See you then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.